Thank you, John. And we greet you this evening in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I don't know how to turn this thing on. Okay. And this message this evening will fit in with our morning service by Brother Darren, and hope that we will all, including myself, go from here this day energized and motivated to make those choices that the Lord has given us the privilege and the opportunity to do, whether to choose Him or whether we choose another way. And this phrase was first recorded in Joshua, the 24th chapter, and the 14th and 15th verses. And it was at the passing of Moses and the passing of the responsibility from Moses to Joshua that has preceded this pronouncement of Joshua. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. I never know which one of these to get. It's not the right one. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And this is the choice that the Lord holds out to each of us, a requirement that He gives to each of us, that if we are to inherit eternal life, that we will indeed choose to serve the Lord our God. And in Isaiah 52, in the first to the third verse, we find another call. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall be no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the I've missed something here. But anyway, and shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bonds of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. And he's speaking here to Israel. They sold themselves out of the grace and the protection of the Lord and His Father by disobedience to the commandments which they were giving and which were taught to them by Moses. And Yet the promise of the Lord is that they shall be redeemed without money. And that price is not money of the world, but the devotion to our Lord. And here in Alma 16:8-12, now there was no law against a man's belief, and there is not today. He may believe whatever he chooses, for it was strictly contrary to the commandments of God that there should be a law which should bring men on to unequal grounds. For thus saith the Scriptures, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. And that has always been the choice that God and Jesus Christ has put before us. We have that freedom to choose, but there is a consequence if we choose wrong. I missed something else here. Just a moment. Let me get out my hair. Be sure what I've done. One good thing about having the books here beside me, For thus saith the Scriptures, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Now if a man desire to serve God, it was his privilege, or rather, if he believed in God, it was his privilege to serve him. But if he did not believe in him, there was no law to punish him. But if he murdered, he was to be punished unto death. And if he robbed, he was also punished. And if he stole, he was also punished. And if he committed adultery, he was also punished. Yea, and for all this wickedness, they were punished, for there was no law that man should be judged according to their crime. For there was no law that should be judged according to their crimes. Nevertheless, there was no law against a man's belief. Therefore, a man was punished only for the crimes which he had done. Therefore, all men were on equal ground. And this Antichrist, I think I stopped there. Yes, on unequal ground. And I don't know where I went to from here. I skipped. Sorry. We'll bypass that part for. I don't know what I've done to it. But going on a little further down, I believe it's in Alma, in that same chapter, that he would be merciful that those who chose not to follow him would be punished with everlasting condemnation to that effect. And many of their children would follow those, but he would be merciful also unto many, inferring those that did follow him and did not enter into those things. For our children shall be restored, that they may come to that which will give them the true knowledge of their Redeemer. And now we go to 2 Nephi 7, 1 and 4. And now I, Jacob, speak unto you again, my beloved brethren, concerning this righteous branch of which I have spoken. For behold, the promise which ye have obtained, which we have obtained, are promises of the flesh. Wherefore, as it has been shown unto me that many of our children shall perish in the flesh because of the unbelief, nevertheless. Oh, that's for that other. Nevertheless, God will be merciful unto many. That's where that should have been. I don't know how that word is. But going on. Wherefore, as it has been shown unto me that many of our children shall perish in the flesh because of unbelief, nevertheless, God will be merciful unto many. And then skipping down to the 13th verse through the 21st. And it shall come to pass that they shall be gathered in from their long dispersion, from the isles of the sea and from the four parts of the earth. Yea, and the kings of the Gentiles shall be nursing fathers unto them, and their queens shall be nursing mothers. And that's one of the things that we have done part of, especially those in foreign lands, that is, without outside the boundaries of the United States. But we have neglected those who are within our own borders, to whom the promise was also given, and also great responsibilities. And going on, wherefore the promises of the Lord are great unto the Gentiles, for he has spoken it, and who can dispute it? And he has made great promises to us in this land, that it would be a land of freedom, as we go on. But behold, this land, saith God, shall be a land of thine inheritance, and the Gentiles shall be blessed upon the land. He didn't take it away from the seed of Lehi, but he gave the Gentiles an opportunity to be a part of that blessing if they would serve him. And this land shall be a land of liberty unto the Gentiles, and there shall be no kings upon the land who shall raise up unto the Gentiles. You know, that's one of the amazing things about this land. It has never had a king under this nation. But to the north and the south of us, they have had. Canada has been under the kingship of Great Britain and France also. They've warred between the two nations over the eastern part of Canada. And Quebec even uses French as their national language in their parliament, although they are under the British law. They had kings also during that period. And yet this nation has never had a king. And let's go on. And I will fortify this land against all other nations. And up to this time it has been fortified. No nation has ever been able to place their troops nor their laws on this land. Britain tried to do that in 1812, and Well, they made some initial inroads. They were driven out. And we sang our national anthem in commemoration of that event when Francis Scott Key, I believe it was the author of the words, asked, does that Star-Spangled Banner still wave? And it is, gives me chills, the hair on my arms are standing up, because I thrill with that song. I thrill with the blessings of the Lord upon this land and upon its people. And it gives me great stress to see what a free people is doing to this land of promise upon which the Lord has said that if we keep his commandments, he will protect us from all evil. But if we turn from him, he will turn from us. And so he has, when we have turned to him, he has turned to us. And he will in the future to those who will obey and put their trust in God and not in the arm of flesh. And going on, and he that fighteth against Zion shall perish, saith God. For he that raises up a king against me shall perish. For I, the Lord, the King of heaven, will be their king. And indeed, he will be. He is our king. We don't always recognize it. That is, those outside the Christian world and most of the Christian world today has now followed after the ways of Satan, the ways of Sodom and Gomorrah. We have reached, in my opinion, that place where we are about to exceed the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah in this land. And there is no excuse. There is no no way of escaping the judgments that will come. And now we're skipping down to the 33rd through the 44th verse of the 7th chapter of 2 Nephi. And now, my beloved brethren, seeing that our merciful God has given us so great knowledge concerning these things, let us remember him and lay aside our sins and not hang down our heads, for we are not cast off. Now, he was speaking of the descendants of Nephi in this particular instance. Apparently they had come to think that they had been cast off because of the things they were going through, the trials of their faith. Nevertheless, we have been driven out of the land of our inheritance, but we have been led to a better land. And here he's referring to they were driven out of Jerusalem. His father, or his forefather, Lehi, who had prophesied against those things that were going on in Jerusalem at that time, was attacked and driven out. And it was that reason that he had taken his family down to the Red Sea and sent his four sons back to recover those things that the Lord indicated to him that they would need, and so on. And so it was from that land, and it was the better land was this land upon which you and I live today, our forebears from Columbus on to this day. And well, some will say, well, this means Central America. It means all of America, and especially this land, this part. Going on, for the Lord has made the sea our path. He caused them to build a ship that brought them to this land. They didn't know how, but he taught them how, and he did. And we are upon an isle of the sea. He calls this, he understood that this was an isle of the sea. But great are the promises of the Lord unto those who are upon the isles of the sea. Wherefore, as it says, isles, there needs be more than this land, this island. And so they are inhabited also by our brethren. And we are told in other places in the scripture that they were scattered among all the nations of the earth. And this is what he is referring to here, that they are inhabited also by our brother, all these other isles. And going on, for behold, the Lord God has led away from time to time from the house of Israel, according to his will and pleasure. And now behold, the Lord remembereth us also. Now, as evidence of this, not only Jared, who preceded Lehi and his shipload by 2,000 or 3,000 years, not long after Lehi was driven out or left, escaped out of Jerusalem, I'm trying to think of the king's name that was taken into Babylon, and he ate grass like an ox, and he was blinded. But his sons were all killed also, except the youngest, who was later found by the Nephites, and the people called him, well, they called themselves, help me. he was the youngest son that was just an infant. Malachites, I believe, what they were called. Huh? Mulek, yes, Mulek and Malachites, yes. And so this verifies at least part of this promise that was made to them. But going on, therefore, cheer up your hearts and remember that ye are free to act for yourselves, to choose the way of everlasting death, that is, follow Satan, follow the carnal ways of the world, what we think is the easy way today, but we will find when we stand before God on that final judgment day that it is not an easy way, nor will it be fun or enjoyable, or the way of eternal life. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, reconcile yourselves to the will of God, and not to the will of the devil and the flesh. And remember, after ye are reconciled unto God, that it is only in and through the grace of God that ye are saved. And it is not through our works that we are saved. It is not through how much wealth we can acquire in this life. You know, we're not going to take one speck of dust or one thread of cloth into eternal life from this life, whether it be everlasting damnation or whether it be everlasting eternity with God. Going on, wherefore, may God raise you from death by the power of the resurrection, and also from everlasting death by the power of the atonement. That atonement was that great price which we remember the first Sunday of every month here. It was more often in that time and in the early times of this church. But it's that sacrament that we partake of the spilt blood and flesh of Jesus Christ. That was the atonement. And we remember it. And we should always remember it and rejoice over it more than any other gift on earth, because it is what gave us that freedom of choice between life eternal and death eternal. And going on, that ye may be received into the eternal kingdom of God. That's our, should be our objective. I hope that I can always remember. I don't always, I'm afraid, but I do desire to always remember that. That ye may praise him through grace divine. Amen. And this is the purpose for which we are born into this life. That should be the purpose why we are gathered here tonight. To show our loyalty, our devotion, our determination against the enticings of the world to be somewhere else, that we be in the house of the Lord when the doors are open and the people gather. For that is our soul blessing. Now we're going to go back a little in 2 Nephi to the 5th chapter and the 75th through the 92nd verse. And to me, this is a very important portion of the scripture. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For the law proceedeth from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light for my people. He had promised us a light. That light is the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that will guide us, will comfort us. It's the light of understanding of the gospel that he will give us through that power to obtain eternal life. Going on. My righteousness is near. It's always there if we call upon it, if we desire it, if we so live that he can give us that portion of life that we stand in need of. But he has said that when we or the nations or the earth turn from him, he will turn his back upon us. And going on. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the people. The isles shall not wait, the islands shall not wait upon me, and on my arm shall be thy rest. The isles shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they rest. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like garments, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. We will vanish. We will wax old, and he gives us more. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart I have written my law. I ask in each and every one of us, if we open our minds, open our hearts, open our souls and our hearts to him, he will write his law upon our hearts so that we will never forget, so that we are always reminded and prodded when we become lax or when we slow or when we think there's something more important that we must do. It is written there, and we need to heed the callings from our heart and those things that tell us don't go there, especially. And it will tell us don't go there. Don't ignore it. Heed it with all the earnestness of your soul going on. Fear ye not the reproach of men. Don't pay any attention to the criticisms and the fun and the light that's made of you by those of the world when you offer your prayer in public, when you bless your food in a restaurant, or when you use the name of Christ in the right way before men. Don't be afraid of their reproach. Neither be ye afraid of their revelings. For the moth shall eat them like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. Well, you know what happens to your wool garments when you hang them in a closet for a long period of time without any moth balls. They get great holes. Sometimes they left long enough, they devour completely. And this is what he's talking about. This is what will happen to the earth and to the people that are buried or lie upon it when he turns away and brings that new heaven and new earth into being. Going on. But my righteousness shall be forever. And my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake. Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Art thou not yet that cut Ahab? Now, he's speaking of Christ here. Another got too close to the bottom. Art thou not yet that has dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransomed to pass over? Yes, he's used the sea as a way to block the enemies. He has used the sea also for a way for the ransomed to pass over. And Jared and Lehi are two great examples of this passing over that's given us in the scripture. And we remember Moses when he brought the children out of Egypt, that he parted the sea, or God parted the sea at his command. And when the Egyptian armies followed in, when they got into the center, the waves came back and they were all destroyed. Not a one came to the shore on which Moses and the children of Israel were. Get this connection in here. That hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransomed and ransomed to pass over. Therefore, the Lord redeemed of the Lord, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing to Zion, and everlasting joy and holiness shall be upon their heads. And they shall obtain gladness and joy. Sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I am he, yea, I am he that comforteth you. These are the promises that the Lord makes to us in this last day, if we will come unto him in humility and meekness, in a contrite spirit, in a repentant spirit, seeking forgiveness, seeking change in our life, seeking those things that are uplifting and not carrying us away into the ways of the world, that we put our hearts, our souls, into laying up riches in heaven rather than upon earth. Our efforts should be in that way. If we do this, he has promised us everlasting life with gladness and joy, where sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Oh, we all know those who we believe are there enjoying that now. Wednesday evening we will celebrate another passing into that realm beyond our knowledge, in remembering of our brother Bill. Oh, I've known him since he was a young boy, and he has stopped in my home a number of times for visits, and I've enjoyed every one of them. There are many other things I'll hold for Wednesday night. There's my own companion, and I believe with all my soul that's there. My parents, the parents of many of you here. Oh, and there's another dear sister whose life is coming to a close. We know not how soon. Who also will be there, I'm sure. My sister Lois. I remember when I was pastor of this local that she was my secretary for a while. And she loved the work. She loved this church. She loves the gospel. And that is the ones that the Lord seeks and rejoices in also, as we should. And then again, there are those who once knew, who have parted from those ways, whom we pray daily that they might repent. Oh, the Lord is merciful, but we must do our part. He will not force us to do his will, but he will help us on the way to the deliverance from evil, from wrong. Oh, some of us will give up our life for him. None of us should be afraid of making that sacrifice for him. He made it for us, and some will make it for him, as many have in the past. We think of the disciples. Think of Peter, I believe it was, who said he was unworthy to be crucified right side up. And he requested and received a hanging on the cross upside down. And Christ says that there will yet be many, or some, as they say, who yet must give up their life in this life for the furthering of the gospel of Christ. Let us all remember that he is indeed an all-powerful God. There is no power in existence, either before, now, or in the future, that can overcome him. Even though, or even if, I should say, all of mankind turned away from him, Satan still would be lost in that everlasting lake of fire and brimstone. May God bless each of you in my prayer.